Well, good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us for the offering of this Mass this Sunday at the Church of the Madeleine. Know you're always welcome to be with us at any time in the future. Our condolences today go to Mary Good. Her mother, Annabelle Dunning, died a few days ago at the age of 97. Annabelle was also the grandmother of Mary McGilvery, also of our parish. So our condolences to all of them. There will be a rosary for Annabelle tonight at the Fitzgerald's Ivy Chapel downtown. It'll be at 7 o'clock. And her funeral mass will be at Calvary Cemetery at the chapel at 11 in the morning with Father Tim Davison of Saints Peter and Paul Parish presiding. Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon her. May her soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, to the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. I ask you to please keep in your prayers a group of young men and women, over 20 of them, that have been on a retreat this weekend at the St. Philip Neri Catholic Student Center at the University of Tulsa, just about a mile up the street. It's a discernment weekend looking at being open to the possible vocation of the priesthood, the permanent diaconate, religious life, as well as to marriage. I've been helping with that retreat on the vocations team, so I've been shuttling back and forth between here and TU. The retreat ends later today. Congratulations again to our families who have welcomed newborns into their lives. The Wygants, the Jungers, Andrew and Chelsea, and also the Whistlers. We were told in the announcements that the moms and the newborns are doing well. And we pray the same. It goes for the dads and for the siblings. And also to let you know about the Whistlers, that the tie has now been broken. There were 3 girls and 3 boys. Now there are 4 girls and 3 boys. So in the Whistler family, girls rule. The homily that I was preparing to preach today got shelved on Friday morning. And so what I'm going to say today concerns the Supreme Court decision. And if it is challenging some of the things I say, uncomfortable to hear, know that it's not the most comfortable thing to preach about either. For as we know, on Friday, the United States Supreme Court, in a 4-5 ruling, changed the legal definition of marriage in the country under civil law. No longer that definition about between a man and a woman, but now couples of the same gender, the same sex, can now be legally married under civil law in the entire country. This is sometimes referred to as same-sex marriage or marriage equality. It's now recognized as a constitutional right. There has been a fundamental change in our country understanding this. And it has caused great distress to some and great joy to others. The decision really should not come as a big surprise. Our culture has been moving in this direction for some time. As I've tried recently to say, our society is one in which has largely abandoned the idea of a universal objective truth, meaning things that we can all agree on, such as those self-evident rights that become a true guide for us and a common goal. What's taken its place is the idea that one's personal beliefs becomes one's personal truth, and one's personal truth is absolute. We can call this way of thinking many things, but one thing we cannot call it is Christian. It's not a Christian understanding how the truth is revealed, how the truth is understood, how the truth is lived out. Now, while the civil definition of marriage was changed on Friday, the definition of marriage as a sacrament in the Catholic Church was not changed on Friday. That definition of that being a sacred union between husband and wife, man and woman, as that image, reflecting the image of the intimate union between Christ and us as the church. Christ as the groom, the bridegroom, and we the church as the bride. Now, we have to realize that people today, as well as always, are free to love whomever they wish, and to live as they please within civil law. And the church is not compelled, at least for now, to recognize such arrangements as a sacrament. It is not a time to set to act as if one's hair is on fire and to run around in circles. Nor is it a time to pretend that, well, don't worry, be happy. It's neither. Things have changed. John Michael Talbot is a Franciscan friar in Arkansas. He's a third order of Franciscans, lives in a community of other men and women in that vocation. If you've ever had the chance to hear him play live on the guitar, you will always remember it. He has been gifted by God in a special way. He also has had a very, I think, good reflection about Friday's decision. He says, for those who are upset, we have two choices. We can either curse the darkness or we can light a candle. Meaning that we can, if to curse the darkness, we need to wrap up in pain and bitterness and play the victim and go sulk away. Or, by lighting a candle, recognize the true situation in which our culture is in. To see ourselves, in effect, as exiles in our own homeland. But as exiles, to be missionaries to the culture in which we live. Meaning that we are to understand the meaning of believing in God as Catholic Christians committed to living a life in Christ. To understand the meaning and value of marriage as a sacrament, not only in theory, but lived out in fact. And to nurture this understanding in our homes, in our schools, in our parishes. And to share this truth with others. Not out of fear, not out of anger, neither of which are a rational argument. I guarantee you, neither one, fear and anger, has ever won a soul for Christ. But rather, to share this truth rationally, intelligently, joyfully. That's the task. To learn how to do that again. And it's going to take time. I expect it will be a multi-generational task. You know, recent Sundays, I mentioned how the prophet Ezekiel did not live to see the temple rebuilt in Jerusalem. Also, we know that Moses, he leads the people in the Exodus, but doesn't live to see them cross over into the land of promise. But that did not stop them from leading the people on this task. And as we do, as we strive to light our candles, we must acknowledge that those persons who identify as part of the LGBT community have not always been well treated in our church or elsewhere. This is unjust. It is particularly unjust for those who have striven to live a faithful life in Christ, to live the virtues which we proclaim. We must remember that if there is a need to correct, if there is a need to challenge, if there's a need to disagree, it must be done in love. You can disagree with somebody and still love them. And to those who are in favor of Friday's decision, let me repeat that. You can disagree with somebody and still love them. To disagree with someone does not mean that you hate them. Are we to believe that those who support traditional marriage are now to be branded as bigots, placed in the same category as Nazis, and driven from the public square? Really? And to do so, if that's the case, that also is unjust. You can disagree and still love people. Can we get over this? If you disagree, you're filled with hatred. The proponents of what is referred to as marriage equality sometimes have said it's a matter about live and let love. Meaning that to recognize the relationships between couples of the same gender is the same as couples of the opposite gender. Recognize it under civil law unless we can all just get along together. Live and let love. I believe we're going to discover very soon if that will be the case or not. In the coming years, if people continue to be fired from their jobs because they support traditional marriage, or if there are now going to be legal battles over the accreditation of faith-based colleges, or battles over tax-exempt status of religious institutions that support traditional marriage, then we will know that it's not been a matter of live and let love. I pray it's going to be that way, that we all can get along. But I think it would be wise to prepare for something else. For it is naive to believe that there will not be unforeseen and unintended consequences to Friday's ruling. And one of my concerns is that just as we have now for more than four decades been one nation divided by abortion, we will now be one nation divided over the definition of marriage. But let us not curse the darkness. The images that we have in today's gospel reading from Mass, that Jesus heals this woman who's been afflicted for 12 years, raises a girl who's dead, raises her to life, and talks about faith, that it's faith that heals, it's faith that saves. Much like last Sunday's gospel reading when Jesus is in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, and he calms the wind and the sea, and he turns to the men in the boat and says, "You of little faith." Faith understood not so much as adherence to religious doctrine, but rather I think faith as a matter of trust. Whoever touches Jesus in trust, whoever accepts the touch of Jesus in trust, is cleansed, healed, raised to life, both in body and in spirit. And at such times as these, we are called to have that faith, have that trust in Jesus. St. Paul the Apostle today tells us that as you excel in every respect, in faith, discourse, knowledge, and all earnestness and in love we have for you, may you excel in this gracious act also. As we light our candles, we can, and as an example of someone who excelled in this gracious trust, St. Francis de Sales, he was a French priest in the 17th century, becomes the Bishop of Geneva, Switzerland. He's living at a time there's great upheaval as part of the ongoing fallout from the Protestant Reformation. He preached and lived his Catholic faith without compromise, but he did so with graciousness, with kindness, with mercy and compassion. And by the way, he was quite successful, either converting souls to Christ or reconverting them. On the subject of how to face the storms of life, De Sales writes, "Do not look in fear to the changes in life. Rather, look to them with full hope that as they arise, God, whose very own you are, will lead you safely through all things. And when you cannot stand it, God will carry you in his arms. Do not fear what may happen tomorrow. The same understanding Father who cares for you today will take care of you then and every day. He will either shield you from suffering or give you unfailing strength to bear it. Be at peace and put aside all anxious thoughts and imaginations."